Okay, we're holding today really on Mount Zion. We're going to start on Ramamid base. Thank you so much. So we're holding in the middle of the dinim of the re'ah, of the lung, and we got up to six lines actually. We're starting in towards the end of the line. Four lines. And we did that already. Omra Meimar Mishmei Derava in Makifin Bubui. If we have blisters on the lungs, in a place where we have no right to assume that the blister was punctured as the lung was removed, it's not in a place where the hands of the butcher would possibly have touched. And we see that it's punctured. Now, we don't know whether the puncture came from after the Shemitah, from before the Shemitah. It's possible that the pressure of pulling out the lungs and so on, all of that caused the blister to break. So somebody's got the idea. He finds another blister on the same lung that isn't punctured. He figures, okay, let's puncture it now. Compare the two. If it looks the same, then we can assume that they're both punctured after the Shemitah.
Sort of outer wall and inner wall, if it looks like it.
No, that's not the point. It's punctured all the way out.
It goes all the way through?
Yeah.
There's
a hole now. Yeah, there's a real hole, but it's very possible the hole got there because somebody pressed on this blister. It's talking about like a pus-filled blister, a liquid-filled blister. But you can't, says Rava, rely on the hakafa. Hakafa is simply to bring two things together and to see if they look the same. You say shalom and amukav, when it comes to taking off trumas and maizers, next to each other. So comparisons are not valid to determine the time of the puncture. V'yomar Rava, furthermore, says Rava, ane tarti uni, disrifim hadade let lehubdika. If you have two of the unot of the lung, and there's a very chashuv machlokes as to whether the meaning of two unot of the lung is specifically unot as opposed to umot, or whether umot, I'll explain in a moment, or whether an una and an uma is really not important in the general language of the Gemara, which is the way Rashi holds. Before we get to this, maybe it's kedai for us to skip ahead a little bit to talk about the overall structure of the lung, and then we can go back and understand this better without needing to do it twice. Okay, it's a little clearer than there, but I think the pictures in here are not bad. Okay, so let's just skip for a moment, and we'll get back, instead of my explanation, let's use the Gemara's direct explanation. I'm Dr. Mem Zion Omer Aleph. You're my Rava on the fifth line down. Got some pictures here. Where are the pictures? What page do they have pictures on? Where's the picture? Oh, I'm sorry. First section. All right. So here, okay, this is it's taken from. We'll put it upside down. Yomar Rabba, Chamisha une isla lareya. There are five. Now these, when it says una. An una over here is, in English, we don't distinguish between an una and an uma. We just call it lobe. The uma is what's called the mother lobes, or the large lobes, and the unos are called the smaller lobes. And we'll see why they might have a different halacha. We'll speak out in a moment. Rav is only interested in discussing the unais because the essential lung is the two large sacs that sit inside the cavity of the chest. And what Rav is saying is that besides those two large lobes, you have five unot. And unot is like a smaller lobe, it's the diminutive, una, idle lorea. In a case, now, it's very interesting, because the truth is from the back of the animal. In other words, you're talking about what the animal's lungs, let's not look at the picture for a moment, okay, so we could just orient ourselves. If you're looking at the animal from the top, then you're talking about the animal's right side and the animal's left side. Now, in
front or from the back? I'm sorry, from the top.
What's the top of the animal?
Like
the animal is sitting in front of you, and you're looking at from its back towards its head.
Yeah.
You're now the animal, and you are
riding
horseback.
So now, if we talk about the animal's right side longer, the animal's left side longer, it won't be so helpful because we won't be able to distinguish it from the top. Therefore, what the Gemara talks about is looking from the bottom. So in other words, it's as if you've removed everything in the way. You're looking now at the lungs from the bottom of the animal. However, if you did that, you would be confused because we're giving you numbers to the right and to the left that are inverted if you look at it from the bottom.
Okay.
Therefore, what we do is we hang the animal upside down as it's hanging in a butcher shop. And then the right and the left actually become the right and the left of the animal, except that you're looking at the animal upside down and backwards. So it boils down to the same thing. Correct? Okay, so in other words, right and left sides of you really are the right and left sides, as we would talk about, the right and the left side of the animal, except that in order to distinguish what we're looking at, Rava says, let's orient ourselves, ape flape gabra, the face of the animal facing the person next to it, except that it's hanging. So you're looking at it upside down, in which the right side that you're looking at is the right side of the animal, not the left side of the animal. It's the left side when the animal's upside down. So now, the way to picture the lung is we have three of these extra lobes, the smaller lobes, the unais, on the right side, but for a little bit further towards this side.
Sorry.
Thanks. Vitarte mismola. And
we the line demonstration.
It's mine. I'm gonna say if it was Charlie Chaplin, it would be fine. But then, and we have two from the left side. Chosir o yatir, if you've got either one missing or one extra, o khalif, or if you switch the two sides to the three side and the three side to the two side, then basically you have a chosir. Every yasir is called a chosir. It's a trait. Now, let us look at the pictures so that we can see now, again, if we're talking about this is not the way it's in the Gemara. Upside down would be the way it is in the Gemara. Because you're looking at the underside of the lungs of a deer. So that if it would be hanging, then the kunna would be going towards the bottom. So that this is the upper, even though when you're looking at it, you're looking at the lower.
Right. I don't know if it'll help everybody in learning it, in actually doing it, check the stomach, or check it from the inside. The right side, the strong side, you have three, whereas the left side, two, strong side, three.
Okay, now the reason it's constructed like this is because... First of all, this is very good because this shows you what you're looking at.
Same picture.
In the art school over here, it shows the lungs in place. Mm-hmm. And we'll see why this is important in terms of understanding the sircha issue. But the lungs, basically, we have to imagine the lungs hanging loose because they're really left to hang. They're attached only slightly up against the diaphragm. And the reason that they're left, and they can't be firmly attached anywhere, is because there won't be room to expand. So the whole point is you've got a limpish balloon, so to speak, that now is going to expand into the cavity of the chest every time that the diaphragm pulls back, creates a vacuum, and now the lungs expand through the whole thing, right? And that's exactly what the problem is with the Gemara that Rava just began talking about, where there are sirchot. Sirchot means that you have adhesions from the edge of the lung to something else. And we'll discuss what that something else is in a moment. So now, as it's lying uninflated, which we do not see in the left-hand picture, but rather here, where it's partially inflated up against the rib cage, you see there, as the animal is hanging upside down, we have this construction over here. So we have the three unot towards the bottom on the right hand side, which looked at this way would be the right hand side of the animal as well. Right? So we have now these three unot, ignore the one in the middle, and then we have the two unot on the other side.
They're separate.
You can see they're almost completely separate. One of them, which here appears as the lower, which is actually the upper, and it's called the upper in English, because in English you don't talk about it from the animal hanging upside down in the butcher shop. But the upper lobe over here, you'll notice, crosses over the kana. And it is known, therefore, as the mitpatzel, or the mitpatzelet, you know, mitpatzelet, because it actually leans over to the other side, splits up over the kana onto the other side. The reason that we only have two on the other side is because the heart is in the way. You know, so in order to leave room for the lungs and the heart not to interfere with each other, there's room left on this side that you only have the two unais instead of the three unais. Whereas on the other side, you've got enough space, so there's space for an additional one. Now there's also, Now there's also, if you see over here on the bottom, which looks like it's the top, again, we're discussing the whole thing upside down, but on the bottom of the kana, you have what appears to be a little tiny lobe in the middle. Mm-hmm. And that's here, you can see it very clearly in the larger picture, this actual photograph. And that is not necessarily part of the lung. At the time of the Gemara, and sometimes today, but the times of the Gemara, usually you didn't find this in domesticated animals. And this is called the little rose, or in Hebrew, the Aninusa devarda. But it's known all over as the little rose. So it looks like a little rose when inflated. And it's not part of the general structure of the other lobes. It looks like it's in the wrong place. It's hanging in the middle between the two sides of the lung. And it sort of covers over the bottom of the kana, over what we call the beta sampunot that we spoke about earlier. It's lung tissue. It's real lung tissue. And it's an actual separate lobe. And we'll see this becomes a question later on, the Aninusa devarda, what's its relationship to these other lobes. Now, you can see over here in the picture in which you have the lungs here in the rib cage itself, that when you have an inflation of the lung, here it's held without anything holding it in place, these things will basically inflate up against one another. There isn't really room to be completely free. And that's going to make an afkamina legabi the din of sircha.
Later on.
Yeah, they're connected.
They
all have to blow up together. If they don't, then there's obviously a blockage somewhere. So we'll discuss what the din of a blockage is. We may have a problem in the lung. But we didn't say.
I was going to say, on 62, you can see the only connection to the body is the pulmonary ligament.
There's two connections, but the pulmonary ligament is the primary connection. See, it looks actually like a sircha, which we'll talk about. That's the way it's supposed to be. Don't mistake that for an actual sircha. If you're hanging loose, that's what you see on the top. Because you need to have that room. Now, the thing over here is that if, as you can see over here, as the lung inflates, obviously the tendency will be for, just like in an expanding universe, parts that are on different things expand away from each other, right? And so if you've got something that will connect one of these lobes to the other with an adhesion of some sort, then as it inflates, the likelihood is that ultimately that adhesion will be pulled off, or certainly isn't going to hold on very tight. On the other hand, if you've got an adhesion between two of these lobes, right next to each other, then as it inflates, it'll be pushed closer to the other one and will not have a tendency to be torn off, but on the contrary, will gradually harden and become placed in where it is and then not be able to be torn off. And this is now, getting back to the beginning of the sugya again, this is now the issue that Rava discusses. So he says that in a case where you have two unot, that are Sarichim Mahadod, where there's an adhesion between two of the onot, which is not there in a lung, in a young, healthy lung, let lehubedika, there's no way that you can check as to whether it's kosher, and you have to assume it's treif. Velo amron ela shaloki sidran, but that's only if the adhesion was not in the order of the lobes. In other words, it wasn't one lobe to an adjacent lobe. Avakisidran, if it's one lobe to an adjacent lobe, then hainu revisayu, that would be the way in which it would be most strongly strengthened, because each time it inflates, the lobes get closer to each other and force the adhesion into place. Now there's a major machlokas with all kinds of implications between Rashi and Tosfos. What is the reason that a sircha is a problem? Rashi learns that the entire sircha is only the result of a hole. I shouldn't say only. Is the result of a hole in the lungs. And therefore, when you have this hole, it gradually gets covered with mucus and hardens. And in time, what you see is a strong structure that formed out of hardened materials that had leaked out of this hole, that initially is what's known as a rear. A rear is just a mucusy extension, but which became hard and is now a sircha. And therefore, if you see a sircha, you've got to assume that there's a hole under it, but you can't check it because it's sealed by the sircha. So it's not going to do you any good to inflate the lung and see whether it leaks. So therefore, there's nothing to do about it. This is how Rashi understands.
This is back to the question of whether once treifa, always treifa?
Not necessarily, but it does get back to the issue of is a krum shalabach bas maka berea a krum? We'll see later on that a krum shalabach bas maka berea is not considered to be a krum. So even though the sircha may... Remember that Rashi distinguished over there, and that's what gets into your question about how about if there's a nekev and the moro was sotem, the kaved was sotem, or the dofen is sotem, as we'll see later on. And Rashi distinguishes that in those cases, the krum is a krum, because it never, that's the question, does he mean there was a machlokas there? Does he mean because it never was a treif? Does he mean because that's solid enough? Okay, over here, whatever meaning it has, it's the same thing. If it's between two lobes, so whatever ends up covering the hole is a useful cover, and the hole is bottle. Or we never had it, didn't have a hole, depending on how you learn there. If not, then it's not going to be strong enough, it'll be torn away, because there's additional pressure over here from the actual expansion of the lung every time it expands. Tosis learns the opposite, that actually a sircha is not the result of a hole in the lung. The problem is that if a sircha runs between unot, not in order of the unot, then the expansion of the lung will cause the sircha to be pulled away, leaving all. And since we know that situations that result in chisorin, or that result in a nekev, like a lekusa, we have an illness that's going to end up puncturing, or like the case where you had the a maka berea, if it would have been the same as the shmona shrotzim. Even though there's no hole now, but we see this as ultimately creating a hole, so this too is considered to be a hole. And so some learn Tosfos, others learn that the problem in Tosfos is maybe it already began separating out, and you already have the beginning of the creation of a hole, and therefore it's treif. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that you've got what appears to be an impossible situation according to Rashi, because it's sort of like the Taina of the creationists against Darwin. How come we never find a half a wing? And this is exactly what they, which isn't true, we always find a half a wing. But the question that they ask is if... I'm just being cute. The question over here is, if a sircha is really the result of a hole, then how is it that we always find sirchas but never find holes? Why didn't we catch a lung in the process of making a sircha ever? Isn't that a rather curious coincidence? So we should find, basically, lungs that are full of holes in various stages of creating sirchas, and we never do that. So the Aruch HaShulchan actually explains.
The Sikha comes as the whole is being formed. That's why you can
it takes a long time for the Sikha, according to Rashi, it's like a stalactite in a cave. It gradually builds up. So why don't we find the drip before we find the stalactite? That's the question. So Hittite is like this, and he uses, it's very interesting because he uses this as a backup for the Rambo's opinion. And let me give you some background to that, because that's like, I mean, basically, this daf is the main daf about what kosher and the whole kosher problems. Because this is where the problems come, is sirkas. We don't even check generally for other trephas unless there's something particular that's making us check. The lungs we have to check, and it's been going on a long time already.
Is it
time to go? Very, very.
Not
only see it, you feel it. Actually, that's the way that it's not rough. It's an actual hanging piece that's sticking out. So, what you do is, in order to avoid breaking this, and before you have a chance to check it, is you check it by feel in situ before you pull anything out. So you hang the animal, cut through the diaphragm on the left side and the right side. Stick your hands through the diaphragm, run them carefully over all of the various lobes of the lungs, and you immediately feel where something's in the way.
Like a stethoscope hanging down.
Exactly.
A wire.
Hanging inside the balloon or on the outside?
Outside.
The outside.
Yeah, but as you try to follow it around,
the wire is dripping down,
dripping
out. The stethoscope
is dripping out.
You clearly feel a little.
Then,
that's dripping. It's your hand catch. And it's slowly gets more and more sticky and keeps mucusy, so it.
Sometimes it's mucusy, sometimes it's fatty, and it depends. That's what we're going to discuss. Then, after you make a note of where this was found, so there's usually one guy who does that in a big house. There's one guy who does that who's called the Beit Pnim. There's another guy who's the Beit Kutz, because they have these animals running down. So he's like, you know, he's like the dental assistant, so you know, marks the tooth, you know, and that's what he does. He marks. He tells you where it is that the Beit Kutz has to check. When they take out the lung, then they actually have the lung in front of them, then they start up with the Sirchus issues. And here's where the big machlokas come. So, the Beis Yosef says, it says in the Gemara, Sirchus is less than a Bedika, period. That's all there is to it. Therefore, if there's any Sirchus, it doesn't have a Bedika, the animal is trafe. And that's what chalak means. It's chalak, it's smooth. The surface of the lung is completely smooth. And it's like the word, it's chalak. And if it's chalak for the Beis Yosef, then there's no problem at all, because there's no syrup, there's nothing to look at. Everything is fine. Discovered it's fine. Problem is that even though if you go down to South America and the rainforests and so on, 95% of animals will be just that way. But if you check an animal in the U.S., only 2% of animals will be that way. Amazing, it really is.
Wow.
And therefore, the problem
because
is
of pollution?
Apparently because of pollution. And therefore, in Europe, where it was a disaster to have a trefa, and the goyim weren't exactly cooperative in taking off trefas from your hand necessarily, so they came up with a lot of ways to get around this problem. So the Ramah brings that there is a minhag, although he doesn't recommend relying on this minhag, but he says there is a minhag in Kehilas Ashkenaz that we don't view every, what is called, as people call sircha loosely, as a sircha. A sircha would have to be hardened. And therefore, if you can rub it between your fingers and it just loosens and falls apart, then it's not called a sirkha, it's called a rear. It's called just like a mucus extension, and it doesn't have a din of a sirkha. That's what he talks about. What has happened during the course of time is all types of polemics about it, and how did it happen in some horrible, terrible sheikh in Prague who came up with this idea, was thrown out of his position, but the mysis up and brought him back into his position, and the most awful polemics have gone on about this. But what has evolved, practically speaking, is that the trick is not simply to be mimashmesh and mimaev, Because there's no sheer to this thing. You know, and again, as the polemics say, sure, they're being mamash b'shamamayet. You know, what they're really doing is putting like 500 tons of pressure onto that thing between them. That's the way it breaks. And then they claim it's only a rear and so on and so forth. So what they end up doing is separating the sirfa, if it separates easily, whatever that means, separating the sirfa from the lung, and then blowing up the lung to see if there was a hole under the sirfa that was created by removal of the sirfa. So that even though we won't rely today, we're not the key on the blowing up the lung and so on and so forth, to check for other things we don't rely on that, but this we view as a chumrah, because after all, we first decided it's not a sirfa at all, you see. So then when we pulled it off, okay, just to make 100% sure, so we also will blow up the lung and see whether there's any linkage. If there's a linkage, then we'll, even though we don't really believe it's a sirfa, but we'll treat it as chumrah as if it's a sirfa.
So that's more leading toward tosafos.
What?
Is that more leading toward tosafos?
Not necessarily, because if there was a hole underneath, so then, see, there it was. Is it caused all? Is it caused all? It would work out according to Boshi.
So in the big cloth masses, they only fill the lungs with air, see if they...
After they pulled, that's right. After they pulled off the sirfa, which they always do. It's impossible to find halak. Remember, the halak is exceedingly rare. Now, the problem is that what is called halak is not halak. Nowhere. The word chalak itself, unless it says chalak beit Yosef, isn't even claimed to truly be without anything. But the difference is between a chalak is that they weren't, there were certain things that they actually considered to be rearing, which according to the beit Yosef wouldn't have been rearing. And then you have this level of completely chalak, which cannot ever happen. And then you have the stam kosher, in which they really peeled off the sirfa and blew it up, which means anything, because you never know how much kula they went into on the regular kosher. Because each guy, there's no shear for it. You know, it's a question of the Kabbalah, what the guy learned, you know, is considered to be, or how much he's being paid extra in order to make sure that the meat is kosher and so on. So it's to eat non-halak today is to accept an exceedingly, exceedingly low level of kashrut, because it isn't really kosher necessarily, even according to Rambam.
Unless you know, obviously.
But because there's tremendous pressure to get kosher meat, and the assumption is anybody that's eating kosher meat, not halak meat, doesn't really care all that much. So Mamela, you push a little bit harder, and you peel a little bit more, and you look up a little bit less carefully, and you end up with kosher meat.
So then you blow this.
No, that part is a machine.
Of course,
that the machine is supposed to be only a chumra.
I'm afraid you're going to plug it in.
I'm afraid you're going to lose it. No, no, but some people say you have to use it.
You have to use your mouth.
Why?
When it comes to sirfas, ask no questions. Is there any possible variation of a theme? You will find somebody holding it.
Well,
again,
this meeting is meeting
that
they call
glot.
That's why
I went to Tircha. What they call glot is just English for chalak. Glot means smooth. Chalak means smooth.
It was a Tircha that was possible?
It could.
Which used to be with Tosha.
Correct. There's a lot of unfortunate.
Was possible. It's not
a lesser type of Tircha. Right. Unless it's chalak, they can say. Where nothing is allowed.
And they get enough
meat. Well, you know how it is. As soon as there's a premium for it, all of a sudden 90% of the animals are that way. I think somebody once did an actual analysis of, it turned out they were selling halak, what was it? Was it kishka? I don't remember what it was, but it turned out there was more of what that was than there were kosher animals being checked. So it was coming from somewhere. It's a disaster, and especially in the States where it's mafia controlled, and you know the meat production and so on. It's really very, very difficult. Not a few shopper people found themselves on the bottom of the East River. What do they call that? That booth. I actually know one.
Never killed.
Yeah. So, you know, there's not much you can do about these kind of situations. And the thing to do is to, you know where you're getting your meat.
How is it, the cattle from Argentina and Brazil?
Are much, much better in terms of cereals. So there's far fewer cereals.
The meat that we're getting in Arkansas, that is.
Again, I mean, you don't know about the pasteurizer, you don't know about the chocolate, you don't, and you don't know about the salting problem, which they claim to be frozen and isn't frozen. There's tons and tons of problems. You got to know what you're doing, basically. Who you're dealing with.
They send from Israel with Rabbanut and all that sort of advice.
Sometimes it's good. Yeah.
But so there are three levels of them having this problem. One is that it's supposed to be glad. One is that the adjustment is supposed to be glad. One is the last culture. And one is, of course, that it's totally traceless, right?
Well, then there's four if you're including totally traceless.
Wherever it is.
Non-galat. No, there is, but it could mean anything, really, because there's so many levels of kula that you don't know how far they're going.
Doesn't each hashgacha say these are standards? Yes.
Yeah. So I'm saying you have to know what it is.
The Beit Yosef people say yes.
That's looking at other things. There's other issues where there could be chulas. And the sircha issue, it's a koyim. So now the shaila is, what was the Rambam really relying on? Yeah, that's where this Aruch HaShulchan comes up with his question of why aren't lungs filled with the holes that are ultimately supposed to be sirchas? Right? So he explains like this. Obviously, Rashi's not suggesting that every sircha is the result of a hole. And the truth is that speaking in terms of normal health, or one would say acceptable pathology, anytime there's a lung disease, which is a non-fatal disease, if somebody had pneumonia, then he's got sirchas. Because a sircha, in practical terms, will come whenever there is a problem in the lung where the lung attempts to thicken the membrane. So a lot of these respiratory diseases cause a mushiness in the membrane, which then the lung attempts to repair by adding materials, and they end up causing adhesions. Obviously, one way you can get an adhesion, as anybody, as any doctor who's ever done an operation or anybody who's ever had an operation knows, that one way to get an adhesion is by having a hole, and then you, as it heals, you get these ridiculous adhesions, which is why it's very difficult to do a second operation in the same place. You have the first one because it's already complicated by adhesions.
Sealed up with these adhesions?
Yeah, it's sealed, but it's because it drips, it attaches one organ to another organ. You know, so you get all types of, uncomfortable connections. That's why you get a lot of these symptoms after an operation, after healing, that you don't have the same movement and so on, because there's adhesions that are there. So that's true that there can be adhesions that are coming from holes, but it doesn't mean that every adhesion is coming from a hole. Therefore, even when Rashi is saying it doesn't have a bedika, it means that we see a reisa, but we're only assuming the worst. So it's not that rove of these things are coming from holes. And the same thing, Nitanis, is true according to Tysus. We're not, even Tysus isn't suggesting that every single sircha, if pulled away, is going to create a hole. It's a reisa, which we're being machmer on to be cheshesh because it's not in the correct order of the unites and it's under pressure, maybe it'll get pulled off. Therefore, since the whole thing anyway is a very big suffix, that's what we see a reason. So all the Rama is doing is he's building on that suffix. He's saying, look, since the whole thing anyway is just a suffix in which we see a reason, we don't have any clear-cut way to check that reisa, but let's make absolutely sure before we throw out a $500 animal. Let's make absolutely sure that the reisa that we see is the reisa that the Gemara is referring to. If it's just something loose and mucousy, then that's not really much of a reisa, is it? So let's be samech on that, and you want to be machmir, so fine, peel it off, see if there's a hole underneath it, inflate the lung, and so on. But that's already a big chumrah. Mikra, then, that shouldn't even be considered to be a reisa. That's the way that he is malamitzchus on this whole kashrus problem. Because the truth is to say that 90% of animals that are walking around are essentially trefa animals seems rather outrageous.
So they won't die in a year.
Okay, if you hold trefa in a fire, they won't die in a year. By the way, all of this is only said legabe large animals. Small animals, there is no bodika on sirchas, even according to the Ramah. If there's a sircha, or even veal, if there's a sircha, it's bad news. Because any sircha there is soft, never hardens like the larger animals. Therefore, we have to treat it with the full chorma of sirchas. That is the sircha. It used to be that these were very rare.
What percentage of animals, small animals have sirchas?
It used to be very few. As I told you, we tried to get veal in California, we couldn't find any.
So if you're eating lamb or veal, it is by definition glot.
It is by definition glot.
Veal is good looking.
It's not good, but there's no way to check it. So therefore, if you're eating it, it doesn't have sirchas, supposedly.
What about chickens?
No, the chicken, we'll see later on, we're going to... The chicken's lung works in a completely different way. The chicken's lung doesn't inflate.
What?
Yeah.
It don't fly either.
No, because it works on a different principle. It's very similar to the gill of a fish. The gill of a fish, the water runs over the gill. The gill doesn't pull in the water. And the lung of a bird, the air, like a ramjet, the air runs into the lung and into various air sacs in the bird, not the lung inflating in order to pull the air in.
It's more like a filter than a balloon.
Not a filter. It's a real lung.
Intake valve.
By the way, it's also much, much more effective than a mammal's lung because of that. But it was the air exchange, the oxygen exchange across a bird's lung membranes, is many, many times greater than it is in a much, much more efficient.
That's like
that. It has to be smaller, though. It's limited in size like that.
It's limited in size, but it includes air sacs all over the body. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. It's a very complicated thing to
move.
Yeah, it's got to move for a very long time. But... all right, it's interesting. I'm amish know about. I know the person actually, just because my daughter-in-law was ill. There's an entirely different approach to respirators. That is what they do now for people who are unable to breathe spontaneously, is they basically force the lungs to inflate. But there's different ways of doing respirators. They force the lung to inflate, which is extremely uncomfortable. And they'll push in compressed air into the lungs, which is a disaster. It used to be they had the iron lungs in which they basically moved the diaphragm. That is, they created a vacuum around the body, the body expanded, the lungs pulled in. But very uncomfortable is the idea of pushing air into the lungs. So there's a constant jolt. So on. Somebody came up with an idea that basically uses a mammal's lung like a bird lung. Instead of giving this horrific jolt all the time, what you do is you insert a tube into the lung and you keep oxygen circulating in the lungs. It doesn't need inflation. And it became a whole machlokas because of vested interests. Well, my side, he claims he's got the data that shows it, that it works better. In the sense that it's perfectly sufficient in terms of the air exchange, and it saves a lot of the trauma that you find in these, what do they call the intensive care rooms in Hebrew? There's a tremendous amount of trauma from the forced respiration. But anyway, that would be using the mammal's lung, really the way that a bird lung or that a gill works. Who says that a lung has to necessarily be inflated out so far? You keep it under a certain pressure, which maintains an element of inflation, and you have air circulating in it. Why is that any worse? Because you're so used to the idea of taking breaths, therefore you have to push the lung in and out and in and out. It's amazing, and you know, you get this idea. Isn't that what breathing consists of? Going in and out? No, not necessarily. It consists of getting oxygen into your cells. So, Kisidra and Hainan Rebisel. Now, again, this big mark focusing about what exactly Kisidra means. Does Kisidra include the Umais? Or does it only include the Unais? And why did the Gemara talk about Unais and not Umais if Umais were also part of Kisidra? Okay, L'maisa Rashi says the distinction between an Uma, which is the mother lobe, or the Unais is artificial in the sense that it's not found in the Gemara. The only reason that we need to discuss is because over here they're free flying, as opposed to being further back in the cavity of the chest, which enables them to be up against something. And therefore we need to discuss more of the problem. But if they're directly between an Uma and an Una, and Tosfos agrees with this psak, and they bring different shitas. It was apparently a big machlokas at one time, but that's also considered to be Kisidra. V'yamar Rav, ani tarti bui desmuchi la'adot. If you have two ballistas, one right next to the other, less lo b'dikusa, there is no way to check them at all, because the only reason that you've got the coincidence of having two right up against each other is there's a hole under there that's causing these blisters to form. Therefore, there's nothing to check. If you have one blister that looks like it's, as you see, a line in the middle, which you often you see in blisters, a line going through the middle, it looks like there's two blisters. What you do is masinan silo, so bring basically a needle or a sharp thorn. The silo is actually a thorn. Ubazina line, you puncture it on one side. Now, if the liquid pours out from one to the other, then obviously it's one blister flooding, and then it's kosher. The blister per se is not a problem. The tarte, you know, if not, it's two separate blisters, and it's treva. Yomar Rava, once again, we did this already, Chanisha Uni Yisidurea Api Klapi Gavra. Facing the animal hanging upside down, there's five Unais, which three are Miyamin, three on the right side, and two on the left side. Chosir O Yatir O Khalif, if you've got one less, you've got one more, or you switch the right side to the left side, it's Treva. So somebody was bringing in a lung that had an extra lobe to Marima. And Avayasi Ravacha Abava, Ravacha was on the doorstep checking all the psukim that would come out of Marima so he could learn the psak. So the guy comes out of the room, Amar Lei, what did he tell you? Amar Lei, Akshar Niyalai, he said it's kosher. Amar Lei, what? No way, he probably didn't notice. Other highway come in. Go back in, show it to him again. He comes back into the room. He comes back into the room. So Mimar says, tell the guy sitting on the stairs, say the guy sitting out there at the door, we don't ask him like Rava about this idea of having an extra lobe. Sometimes. Because the only time we don't ask him is Hanimila the Kai may be Daraduni. It's only if the extra lobe is along the same row of the other lobes. Then in fact, so you find the same thing with extra digits. You can have an extra digit that just looks like another finger. You can barely notice that there's an extra finger. Or you have a digit that's out of the row of the fingers. The same thing is true over here. If it's in the same row along the rest of the unites, then it's kosher, we don't paskin like Rava. If it's baini, if it occurs, however, between, like this one, that's the underneath of the varna here, is between the rows of unos. Here's the unos all stacked up on either side. And then in the middle of nowhere, you get this lobe. It sure looks like it's a sicko. Right? It's coming out like a thumb in the back of the hand or something. Yeah. So then we would agree with Rob. That is straight. So then there was Ahu Beni Dasa Lakami Ravashi. So there was exactly a case like that where there was an extra lobe between the other lobes, not along the same line. And Ravashi saw it and he wanted to say it was straight. So Ravashi Lamikafa. Omar Le Ravunas said to him, don't say that it's straight. Kol hanich ibi griyasa achisu. All animals that are left out in the field alone have this thing. Now today, all animals just about have them, even the domesticated ones. The korila tafri, and the butchers call it the aninusa de varda. It's called the little una, which is shaped like a rose. So it's the rose-petaled una. V'hane mile migavoy. Aval agaba, this is dafka if it's on the bottom of the one. But if it's on the top, in other words, looking down at the animal from the top, apilu kitarfa da'asa, even if it would be like one leaf of a hadasa, it's all treif. You know it, all the Yosef, Esther, and so on relationships. It would also, it would be a treif. Omar Rafa, says Rafa, furthermore, binogea, the other problems in the lung, and all of these are not new treifas, in that they come under either the fissuren in the rea or a hole in the rea. And the point is, even though we don't see a hole now, what we're looking at is a lacusa that is going to end up being a hole. The tissue is degenerating. So if you have a rea, which is damyelo ufta, if it's like a log, then it's trefa. Now, what does like a log mean? Tikri amre bit hazuta. So some say that it looks like a log. Ikad amre begishta. Others say it feels like a log. And ikad amre denafif. Others say that it's the way that it inflates is like a log. The ikad amre de pachiza. Others say that it's some like the orach has a meaning, pachiza meaning like anashim pochazim, light hearted. Something wrong with its weight. Seems to be empty inside. We all an empty person, a pachaz, pochazim virekim. So this is pachiza. It's an interesting explanation. Rashi learns pachiza is also a type of hardness. So the damyelo ufta could be it's like a, it feels like it's corrugated, sort of like a log would feel. Would be the first part, begishta. And pachiza would simply mean that it's hard, like unnaturally hard, like wood. Then the nefiha, Rashi learns, means that it's like whitish, like wood, like a log. Yeah, so when it's swollen, so to speak.
Is it one little section of the log would have?
Right. Or, there's also the shia. Now, shia is not where it's one section. Shia is where it's smooth, meaning that the lung, it's like you would say about a woman, she's like a log, meaning that she has no figure. And that's what it means over here. The lung has no figure. There's no separate lobes. It's all become sort of one big piece, and therefore it's the equivalent of a chasera. So the shia would mean the less of chatichaduni. It doesn't have the classic chatichas of the various lobes. Omar Rava, as far as coloration is concerned, if a lung is kikuchla, it has a bluish coloration like chul that's put in the eyes, it's kosher. But kidyuta, if it's black like actual dried the ink crystals, it's straight. Because Rebbe Chanina says, actually, red, black is red that has, and biologically we're talking about, red that has become lokra. And if it's lokra, then the assumption is that it's going to become ruined. This halokra of Rebbe Chanina was said legabe dam nida, that the dam that is black is considered to be correct dam of the right color to asr and nida, because it's really red. It's, the other colors are not going to, it won't asr. But black is considered to be now a cuticle in red blood. Yeruka kshera, and yeruka, we'll see which color, of course yeruka runs across a vast spectrum, you know, which runs from the yellows through the dark greens, so the Gemara is going to clarify which yeruka is meant. But yeruka is kosher, as Rabbi Nathan said, and Aduma is kosher, as Rabbi Nathan said, in a completely different context, also Nogea Yosef. The Tani Rabbi Nathan Omer, פעם אחת הלכנו לתחרי הים, ועתה אישה אחת לפני שמלה בן הראשון ומת, שני ומת. There was a woman that I once went to visit when I was there. Came in front of me with a shayla when I was visiting the islands. And she had had a terrible tragedy. She had two sons. Both of them died after getting a bris milah. So the third child that she had, she didn't want to be mild and dangerous. So she brought the child to me to decide what to do. So Re'itiv Shaya Adom, I saw that he was extremely reddish. Amartila, so I told her, Bitiam Kinilo Achi Valabo Damo. You can wait until the red goes away, so that his blood is well absorbed in his system, and then you can be mala. And she did that. Intinalo Umalato Vakaya. And indeed he survived his Mila. Vayukorimoto Natana Bhavli Ashmi, they used to call Natana Bhavli. There was another story when I went to Kaputkia. So Pahama Kata Lakunat Namidinat Kaputkia. Now Rene is about to make a comment, as we know.
Cappadocia.
Yes, sir. Tell us about Cappadocia.
Oh,
okay, there you go.
It's like a moon landscape
and
volcanic
bosom.
Where's
it Turkey? Turkey. Bataisha Lifanai, and there was a woman there that had the same thing that happened to her. She malabna rishonumet and even made she biatolifanai, so she brought her son to me. I saw that he had a greenish complexion. I took a look at his genitals, and indeed, he didn't seem to be very bloody, not much in him. Wait until he's got enough blood in his system. So she waited until he looked normal. And they called him Natana Bavli Alshmi as well. So if you ever go to Tahiti, or ever go to Kaputkia, and you find a generation of Natana Bavlis, you know how it happened.
It didn't provoke suspicion.
In any event, we see clearly that that the red ultimately it gets healed. As it falls into the organism. And the green ultimately works itself out, which is probably a Billy Rubin problem, exactly. And ultimately works itself out. It turns out that these are the same thing as shown along. It'll ultimately work itself out. Therefore, we don't view it as a lacusa. It's going to cause a fissurum or a hole. Omar of Kana Kikavda Kishera, a lung that looks like a liver exposure. This is a condition that's called, indeed, hepatization. Hepa meaning liver. The lung actually ends up turning into a liver consistency and color. Kibisra, if it looks like meat, it's trefa, and the way to remember that is basar besada trefa. So if you've got meat in the field, it's tref. Omer of Sama Bredarova, hai rea, the daimik akushta, fumurika. If you've got a lung that is similar to the koshut or to the murika, which is a crocus, and these are various plants. Now this is yellow. These are like saffron, it's translated. Okay, so this is basically a yellow that is similar to what we would call a yellow, daffodil yellow. So those things are treif, or to go in beato, like the yellow of an egg. Those are treif. When we sit, now, even though those are called yorok, still called yorok in Hebrew. So when we said yorok before, that it's kshera, epidamia, that was kikarni. If it's greenish, not if it's yellow to that extent.
When you say the yolk, do you mean the greenish covering, or the yellow and the yolk is not? I'm sorry, it's only if it's cooked, so it would be like
I don't know what the greenish covering is. I didn't find one. Unless you eat hard eggs.
Right.
And we're not talking about hard eggs. Omaravina. Otumbrea. How about if when you blow, you inflate the lungs? Some of it doesn't inflate. You see an area that seems to be sick. Mycina sakina vikarina. You bring a knife. You cut into the area. Iitba mugla. Vare machmat mugla uukshera. If you find that there is mucus in that area, then all that's happened is basically the lung was temporarily filled with mucus in that area. And it's kosher. below. But if it's dried, Musnea Lagatva Uruka, then you see whether any air is coming in. So you bring in that air, either a feather or you put spit on it, and you see if there's air working its way in. If no air is getting in there, then again, the assumption is that it's treif, because it's going to end up with a decay. Omer of Yosef, krum sha'alah machmat makabreya, eino krum. Of course, going to Rashi, this is the whole basis of the tzircha in the first place. That if the tzircha is viewed as a krum, then even though you can't, and that's why you can't check it, because you won't see, just like the veshet, there's no way to check it, because you won't see anything, you won't know if there's a krum. So memela, there's nothing to do. And unless, of course, it was sealed against something up front, like we had the case by the mora, or that we'll have later on the case of a lung up against the side of the rib cage. So there, we don't say that it's eno krum, as Rashi pointed out earlier in the parak. V'omer of Yosef, this we had earlier, hayre ad hafsha, if you've got noises coming out of the lung. Iyadinan hecha hafsha, if you can pinpoint the location. So then, menichan alagatfo gila uruka, this was the old bicycle tire trick. You put a little spit on the place where the noise is, and or you take a feather, you take a little piece of straw. If there's any bubbling there, then it's trach. If not, it's kosher, because again, we're assuming that it's coming from inside, between the two linings. If you can't pinpoint the place, then you're going to have to take a mashichusa de maya pshure. You take a container of tepid water. You put the lung into the water. By the way, make sure it's not hot water. If it's hot, then it ends up causing the hole to be sealed by the expansion of the tissue. And don't use cold water, because then you'll break it. It's the midrashe, it loses its elasticity in the cold. The same exact thing we have. We brought Rav Yosef's test regarding the shaila if there's a hole between the two membranes. And we show that Rav Yosef's test makes no sense, obviously, as he points out himself, unless the hole between the two membranes is kosher. So, Ella Batkina Libipshur is to take tepid water. If there's any bubbling upon inflation, then there's a hole there, and it's trefa. Milok shera. So, now what about that noise? Well, obviously, what's happened is that we have a case here in which the lower membrane has been nokuv, tator inkivit, but the yiloh lo inkiv, behind the option, the noise that you're hearing, is zika de beni beni. It's simply air escaping from the membrane beneath, forcing its way into the space between the two membranes, and it's bubbling up. But that doesn't make a trace. So if there's no gas escaping the lung, then it's all right. Omar ul Omar of Yochanan, Reyashin Nishbecha Kikiton Kshira. If the lung has been liquefied inside, but there's no hole on the outside, it's kosher. Now, obviously, if he can say that, Alma Kasava Chisaron mi Bifnim Lav Shmei Chisaron, that the fact that you've got tissue that's ruined inside is not considered to be a Chisaron Berea. And that is very problematic from the Mishnah. As Rav Abba points out, Eisvei Rav Abba Lo Ula, why do we have two clauses? It says, HaReyasha Nikva O Shechatzra. Or it's missing a piece. Now, how the heck could it be missing a piece without having a hole? Obviously, it's missing a piece inside, so there's no hole. So, but that would mean that missing a piece is a separate tool from having a hole. So how can you possibly maintain that a liquefied lung is kosher? That's outrageous. I mean, you obviously have a chisaron. So my chasera, even if it means a piece missing of the lung, a chunk missing on the outside, that's the biggest hole you're ever going to get. So then that's a nikva. I'm a nikva. I don't need to mention it separately. Ela lav mi bifnim. It's got to be talking about that it's all on the inside of the lung. Something's missing on the inside of the lung, which proves that you're wrong. And shmamina chisaron mi bifnim shmei chisaron. That means that if something is missing inside, that is treif. To which Ula responds, lo. The olam mi bachutz, indeed, when it says chisaron, in the Mishnah, it's referring to a chunk that someone bit out of the lung on the outside. And why do I need to mention it if a hole itself would be enough to pass it along? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, a hole only passes along if it penetrates all the way to the bronchi. But over here, he would agree that if there's something missing, as opposed to a puncture, then something missing will puzzle even if it doesn't get all the way down. But if the outside is intact, then nobody holds, at least that's what Mullah's opinion, then nobody holds that a chisoron inside is a problem. Therefore, even if it's nishpacha ketona, it's like a liquid container, doesn't matter. So lo tzrichel lo Rabbi Shimon, comes along now the Mishnah to say, that's only where there's a puncture. A puncture isn't missing any tissue. It just pushes the tissue to the side. If we're talking about missing something, that's not a tekuva, that's a chisura. And a chisura, I feel Rabbi Shimon is mode, that it's possible no matter what, even if it didn't get to the actual Beit HaSampunot. And Rabbi Hanania, when he was ill, Rabbi Nosson and all of the Gedolei Ador came to him to make sure they got their last shilas in. And they brought a lung that indeed had liquefied contents, the Ashura, and he said it's kosher. But Rabbi pointed out it's only kosher if the bronchial tubes are intact. And what you have over here is tissue that has become liquefied. But if the samponot themselves have also liquefied, there isn't any rea here. Omale Ravacha Bered Rabbal Ravashi Minoyadinan. So how are we supposed to know that? I mean, that's crazy. For all intents and purposes, that makes the psak useless. Because we'll always have to be cautious. We have a liquid in the lung. How do we know that it hasn't decayed, that including sampunot? Or Marley, the sampunot are, I mean, they're... Yeah, I mean, how are you going to know whether something, you know, there's no standard structure of sampunot, but I'll know precisely that something is missing. So Amalei said, I'll tell you what you do. It's very simple. My sinan sa'a de kunya. What you do is you bring a large glazed vessel so that you can see anything in it up close. And you can, if there's pieces there, you can make them out very clearly against the glaze. And shafchina lebegavo, you cut open the lung and pour out the whole thing, all of the liquefied contents. Ni isbe shuriki fibrin, if you see any actual pieces, pale colored pieces in there, instead of just liquid, then it's treif, because that's basically what's left of some punas that have gotten broken up. And that, as Rava pointed out, is not included in the normal Dinishpach Tekiton. Below, but if there's no pieces at all you have is like a liquid water in it, so then it's kosher.
How could this not function?
That I can't tell you. There may be enough. There was enough intact.
Is there a shear to these problems? It's a little bit of a liquefied.
Because it, what you mean, of some punais that broke?
Suppose we see this as a big problem.
Well, in other words, because okay, what we need to talk about tomorrow is the question how this relates to chisaron and how we pass the gabbai chisaron and berea. Yeah. Okay. We'll stop here because we've been going on so long, even though we're still living in the middle of the world.